This podcast is a production of Tools for the Journey. If you are ready to expand your life and to find deeper meaning and purpose, visit toolsforthejourney.com. What is your path of mastery? To answer that, I need to tell you a story, a short story. We'll do that in just a moment. So when I was a young child, I managed to gain an understanding of my life purpose. Maybe that's unusual. I don't know. But that's what I had, and it guided a lot of the experiences of my life. And this really started to come to a focus when I began the martial arts a few years later. That was 62 years ago, and I've been teaching over 50 years now. There are several principles that have guided me. One of them, and I tell this to all my students, you have to hold your hands out in both directions, one in front, one behind. And what that is really saying is that you reach out to those who have gone before you to give you assistance and training and guiding, but you also have to reach to those who are behind you to help them along as well. It needs to be an unbroken chain. I teach a Japanese martial arts, basically, and there's a term that's used for the teacher you may know. It's called sensei. And we translate that as teacher, but it really means and implies something much more. It implies not someone who's elevated or anything like that, but someone who's gone before. And that's all that it is. That's all that we are. That was one of the principles, is one of us has gone before, and it doesn't make one better or superior or anything else. We're just earlier on the scene. That's all. Second principle that has guided me significantly through this is that you already know everything you need to, everything that you need to know. This may be totally strange to you, and you may have to think about it, ponder it. That's okay. Give it some thought. That's something I tell the students when they come into my dojo, when they come to their first class. I say it, and I repeat it many times. You already know everything you need to know to be a black belt or anything else that you want with this. I teach nothing. I'm the sensei, but I don't teach anything because you already know it. My job is not to teach you, not to pass on my superior knowledge to you, who's inferior. That's an ego trip. My job instead is to share with you experiences so that I help you find the knowledge that's within you. And I pull it out, I dangle it in front of you so that you grab it, you embrace it, and you make it your own. Then it's truly yours. Then you have access to it forever. But it comes from within you, not from me. So in my journey to understand my martial arts and to fulfill my life purpose, this became a quest for me to uncover what was already inside me. And so I pursued many paths to understand my art. Some of those things were dead ends. Some were not, but I pursued a lot of different paths. And one of the things I want to say, I have not had a formal teacher since the very early days, my martial arts, but I have been trained by and have associated with many masters. One of the things I've learned in doing that is the principles of mastery are universal. And this doesn't matter whether it's martial arts, whether it's baking cakes, whether it's making knives and swords, whether it's playing a musical instrument or picking up a brush and making beautiful paintings. It doesn't matter what it is. The principles are universal. Each discipline has nuances that are unique to that discipline. And those oftentimes become what's sometimes referred to as the master secrets. But the basic principles and the basic practices are universal. So what that really means is if you understand those principles, you can master anything you set your heart and mind to master. You just have to know the principles. One of the things that happened in my journeys is I found out that a lot of knowledge was about to be lost. There was one time where I was invited to a camp. And this was when it really became pronounced to me. And there were half a dozen, maybe a dozen other individuals who were invited to this. And this represented the entire known community that was still teaching this particular discipline. I was one of them. And as I looked around and I saw, I started counting and giving attributes to each of these people, which ones were actively teaching and which ones had the ability to teach. I was the only one actively teaching. And the impression that made upon me was profound. This knowledge that had been passed on for centuries was about to be lost. And I made a commitment at that time not to let that knowledge be lost. And I've expanded that commitment since then to include other disciplines. And so one of the things that I do is I'm in the process of setting up a center where people who have this knowledge, I call it sacred knowledge because it is so ancient many times, they have this knowledge and they're wanting to pass it on and they don't have anyone to pass it on to. They can come to the center, students can come and they can meet together and learn the knowledge. That's a different topic, but that's how important this is to me. One of the individuals I trained with for a number of years out in the deserts of the southwestern U.S., he was the last of his lineage. And he told me that none of his people would follow his path. And so he was sharing it with me. So I teach, but especially I'm looking for teachers who I can pass my knowledge on to, because that's part of my life purpose. Part of what I want to do and what this podcast is about is helping you to realize that you can be a master. Many times people have this misperception that masters come from a privileged childhood or that they had special talents and they're unique and far beyond what the average person can do. I want to dispel that myth. Sometimes they are those things, but they don't have to be. That's not a requirement to be a master. In fact, many of the masters were the opposite. They were in poor health. And so they studied martial arts for their health and became a master. Or they lacked some ability. They lacked the ability to speak well. And so they became singers and all kinds of stories. You've probably heard some of them. And if you look around, you can find them. One of the things that I want you to know is masters are all around us. Oftentimes people think that masters are famous. You know, that we know of Rembrandt and Michelangelo and people like that. And they're very famous. And so we have this idea that if you're a master, you're this famous person on this pedestal. History disproves that. The famous masters are rare. And thus we know their names. But they are rare. And the reality is most masters are known perhaps in their discipline. They might be known, but outside of their discipline, nobody knows about them. And they may be known as someone who's knowledgeable, but they don't realize this is a master and there's a difference. And sometimes they're not known at all. So you got the famous, you got some that are known in their discipline and some that are just very quiet doing what they're doing. But they're all around us. They may be next door to you, but I can guarantee they're all around us. And so part of what this objective is to interview this podcast is to interview these masters of many disciplines. And we have them everything from fine arts to smithing to martial arts to musicians. We've got a whole spectrum of people who are on that path of mastery and can be considered masters. And what they're going to do is share with you the principles and the practices of mastery, the things that apply to any discipline, so that you can make your journey as efficient as possible. Should you choose to become a master, not everybody wants to, but if you want to, this is a podcast you will want to listen to because you will learn the principles and practices of mastery from a diversity of masters. One of the things that I tell my students sometimes is that there are three paths that you can take. One is you can devote 16, 24 hours a day to your study. So you live and sleep and eat and breathe your discipline. And you do that for a few years and you will have at least technical mastery. I say technical for a reason, because true mastery requires not just the hours, which are required, they also require the calendar pages to be turned. In other words, it takes years. But that gives you a phenomenal foundation of the technical aspect, and then you gain the wisdom, which comes with time. That's one path. Most people can't do that, and the people that can is usually only one or two times in their life when they have that opportunity. When they're very young, they have no family, no responsibilities, no careers, that kind of thing, they can typically devote that time. And then after they retire, they have oftentimes the means and the time, but they may not have the health or the energy or the interest at that point. But it's another opportunity. In between those, it's difficult for most people. It's not undoable, but it's difficult. The second path is you can go and study diligently, and you can devote several hours, several times a week, several hours a day, several times a week. And in doing that, you give it 20 years or so, and maybe a little bit longer, maybe 30, something like that. You will become a master if you are really, really diligent. And actually, to do it in 20 years or so, you've got to devote 4 or 5 days or nights a week to that discipline, typically. The other path is to do a little training here, a little training there, take a course here, do some study there, practice a little bit now and then when you have time, when you can get around to it. And maybe you spend an hour or two a week or something like that. What will happen to that person is 40, 50, 60 years down the road, when they're approaching the latter part of their life, they can look back and say, I could have been a master. And that will be the end of the story for them. They may have wonderful experiences, and it can be a beautiful thing for them. And if that's what you want, I'm perfectly supportive of that. But if you desire mastery, you won't get it that way. It doesn't happen. So, that's what this podcast is about, giving you those principles, giving you the practices, giving you the things you know so that you can make your journey efficient, because everyone we talk to will probably share a story of going pursuing some dead ends, and we can help you avoid a lot of those dead ends. You'll find some on your own without our help, but we can help you avoid a lot of them. So subscribe to the podcast. Once you listen to it, leave a positive review if you like it so others can find it. If you have questions, send them to me. If you have recommendations for guests, send them to me. If you have criticisms, something you want done differently, send that to me as well. I'll be happy to make the changes, because I want this information to come out to you. So let me know what works for you. Visit toolsforthejourney.com, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Next one, we'll have a guest and an exciting guest. See you next time.